Hello and welcome to Everything to Guppy, the podcast where we talk about every single item, every single enemy, every single everything in The Binding of Isaac. I'm William Hughes, and I'm joined as always by a guy who's Gary. He's Gary. Leave him a Larry. The Batman of podcasting, Gary Butterfield.
Hey, and with me as always is the, I'm going to say the anarchy of podcasting.
You could really prep these in advance, dude.
I could. Yeah, I choose okay. Not to. I think that prepping things in advance for Guppy is it's a weakness, and it shows a dedication to the show that I choose not to engage with.
Hey, that's great, man. It's, you know, one of my primary artistic contributions to the world, but I know it's just like a little tossed off thing you do to keep me from being too whiny.
It's jazz.
Oh shit! I don't like it
don't
anymore.
Jazz?
Can we stop?
Yeah, like you're talking about bringing stuff already, you know, from the tank to the rap battle. People, like you gotta make it up as you go along.
Jazz musicians practice and rehearse extensively.
No, they don't. I've heard jazz.
Okay,
that is not true.
All right.
Yeah, that shit's not practice. That's just bleep bloops.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, play the right notes, idiots.
Know them in advance.
Yeah. Yeah. Earlier, by which I mean almost exactly a minute and 43 seconds ago.
Sure.
Before we started the call, you paused to clear your throat, and it was one of the most silent throat clearings I've ever heard.
It was. So I said clear my throat because what I didn't want to say was get a bunch of phlegm out of my nose.
Oh, okay.
It was not a, I could have. If it, a throat clear would, of course, would have been a him.
Sure. Well, that's a very
this
point.
Was,
that's a good one, too.
This was me. I had some phlegm in my nose that I then sucked.
Okay, suck it down. George Romero.
Yeah, if you're
Rin
Tin
Tin
or
phlegm.
Amblin.
Oh, sure. Or if you're ambling Rin Tin Tin on a little walk.
I think Rin Tin, I guess Benji's the one who ambles the most, kind of just goes from situation to situation.
I think this entire time I thought Rin Tin, I was getting Rin Tin Tin and Benji confused. I don't actually know what Rin Tin Tin's deal is.
I think Rin Tin Tin is like a German shepherd. In a straight fight, Rin Tin Tin picks Benji up by the neck, shakes his head once, and Benji is dead.
Yeah, no more ambling.
That happened to my neighbor's dog when my dog was in heat when I was a kid. Like, the neighborhood bully kid had a little dog. And that little dog wanted to mate with my dog, but so did the big, fairly mean Labrador retriever in the neighborhood.
Okay.
So the big dog picked up the little dog by the neck, one quick shake, and then the bully liked me even less.
That is traumatic.
For me, yeah.
Yeah. And for the dog, and probably survivor's guilt for the dog that did it. You know?
No, that dog was not a very internal dog.
You don't think that eventually it had regrets like a veteran? Like it eventually reflected on what it had done?
Maybe, but like if this dog was voiced by a person, it would have been like John Wayne. So they would have been regrets about, I don't know, not saying more slurs.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Speaking of slurs,
please. Oh, thank God we're having our favorite segment. Slur talk.
The slur talk. I had a thought the other day.
Can I interrupt you very briefly?
Sure.
Slur talk is a good goblin name.
That is a really good name. Or a good goblin app.
Ooh,
like
okay.
They found on Slur talk.
Yeah. Are we both using goblin as a slur right now?
I think we might be. I think gobber is actually the goblin.
I meant Italian people.
Oh shit. whoops. I remember in the 90s before my friends and I had developed politics, a popular thing to say because we'd heard the quote was, I may not agree with what you say, but I'll die for your right to say it.
That's like a great expression for dumb people.
It's a real great expression for dumb people. The more you think about it, like, imagine you fucking died so somebody could say, like, if I'm going to die, it should be for something I agree with. I don't know how to dice so somebody can say a slur.
I mean, but you're reason to die. I mean, you're dying for your principle of free speech overall.
Dumb principle. Like, you're going to fucking die so somebody can say something, some bullshit? Like, you're in hell and somebody's like, I died defending my family. And you're like, yeah, no, I died so, like, Matt Walsh could say the N-word? Like,
damn, Upright Citizens Brigade took a turn.
Yeah. Oh, there's two Matt Walshes. There's one that's evil and one that I just suspect is unpleasant.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. Just like I wouldn't really like if I was in an elevator with him, Ian Roberts, and Matt Besser, I'd get out, not on my floor.
Yeah. It'd just be like, where's Poehler?
Where's the one tolerable person?
In terms of, you know,
how did all the charisma get centered in the one?
In terms of percentage of tolerable person in terms of sketch comedy groups, Upright Citizens Brigade has the lowest percentage.
And I'll say two of those three guys have made me laugh a lot. And then Matt Besser's, you know, well known too.
Yeah, he's also there. He's sometimes in the room while other people are being funny.
Yeah, Matt Walsh has made me laugh a lot. When Mr. Peanut died and he was suspiciously there.
Yeah. I think they're funny, generally. I would hang out with Foley, like, 75% of the state. And, like, 80% absolutely. Of kids in the hall. But, yeah, just 25% of Upright Citizens Brigade. It's rough.
Man, I can't, like, the thought of having to hang out with Besser. Like, if my life had gone very differently and I'd ended up in L.A. Improv and been on, like, one episode of Improv for Humans.
Yep. And he was just like way into you, and now it's just the two of you are partners.
Yeah, I really don't smoke weed. I'm sorry, I don't smoke weed. Yeah. Do you have another personality I can talk to?
Going to hell. I don't know how to do a Matt Besser impersonation. He's a snivelly little goblin guy, though.
Yeah, I think it's good that you can't. I think it's good. A lot of goblin talk today.
Matt Besser makes me laugh sometimes when he's on podcast with Andy Daly.
Sure. Like, yeah.
Sometimes, you know, he's not an untalented improviser. He's just unpleasant.
Just a vibe. Just kind of a bad vibe.
Yeah. Yeah. Some people just have bad vibes.
He's the worst part of those August Lint episodes.
He is the worst part. There's some things in it that make me laugh, mostly when he's being the kids.
Oh, yeah. When he's being the kids. Yeah.
The kids is pretty good. And like, that's, you know.
Fucking deep cut podcast reference from like now it is the deepest 7 years cut, ago.
I have listened to that individual episode of that show maybe like 10 times. It's one of my all time favorites.
Podcast pilot project.
Yeah, the August Lint episode specifically.
Yeah.
Did somebody say my name?
Yeah. No.
Very good.
This is the entire basis of our friendship, Gary, is we listened to the same podcast 10 years ago.
And now we no longer listen to the same podcast. We also both enjoy remembering things, you know?
Yeah, although, so we should note that since the last time we recorded, we spent a day together.
Yes.
And it was a real, it's always fun because it's a good reminder of which parts of my personality are deeply onerous to Gary.
Aw, I had a very good time.
I had a great time too, man. I'm being Guffy Will. Fun.
Okay. I had a pretty good time. I wasn't trying to make things
bad. We were also
bad.
Hanging out with Kay. We were walking around PRGE with you, me,
that's
and
the problem.
Kay. Yeah. And then so early on, before we even got to the convention center, I was like, I've been thinking about something. What's the best movie that anybody who was in Friends was in? And Kay was like, I'll engage with this.
Yeah.
And Gary did not have that point of view.
No, it was... It was for a little while getting you and Kay together until you can be tamed. It does kind of become like a portal that's like, you know, like if you make two portals in the portal game facing each other and you throw a box into it.
Yeah, in the portal
and it just
game.
Keeps going forever, you know, but except for just naming things that you know.
Sure.
Like just saying things out loud that you happen to know. And then giving each other a sad little approving, like, is that good? Glance. And then one-upping it. And it could just keep going forever as kind of a perpetual motion thing if nobody interrupts it.
Yeah, because it feels nice. And it's good.
It's kind of you jerking, you know, each other off. Like, I need to stop it because we're talking and doing a thing, you know? It's just I just say, gotta stop her just saying the things. Like, you do that in your own time. Yeah.
I think that was our own time.
No, it wasn't. It was
we were
our
in line
time.
At Dutch Brothers.
It was our time, and it was the time of the good employees at Dutch Brothers. It was our time.
Our town.
His treasure is our wish.
But Gary likes remembering things different than the way I like remembering things sometimes.
Yes, and that is important to me for some reason.
So important.
You too are out of control.
We were just talking about people who were in movies.
You were just listing people who were in movies back and forth with increasing frequency. It was like the boss fight in Zelda 3, where you're taking, blasting the magic thing, batting it back and forth, just getting faster and faster, saying just names of people who happen to be in movies. It was like a weird, it's like being caught in an IMDb that escaped the internet.
Yeah, what a beautiful idea.
I don't like IMDb that much.
Oh, no, it's the best website.
Oh, it's pretty bad.
They got the common collaborators search. You ever do that? You look up anybody who worked with the Nazis.
I do like that bit.
All the Quislings, all the Vichy, it's really helpful.
I do like, I love Quislings. They got a pepper bar.
What?
Quisling is a Quiznos joke.
Oh, great. Yeah.
That's
much better than knowing what movies Matt LeBlanc was in.
It is much better, actually. Like, you're saying that in a sarcastic way, but of course it is. One of them is a list that could be accomplished by a piece of paper. And one of them, though funny, required a little spark of humanity.
Gary, thank you for making that correction so I didn't have to.
Yeah, no, I it was a legitimate mistake.
Yeah.
But one of... I basically, if a function can be achieved by a piece of paper, I don't respect it.
It's my entire job, dude.
It's not your entire job. You do analysis and transformative, all kinds of stuff. You make jokes. You do all kinds of stuff. Your job is not just to like list things Matt LeBlanc is in.
Okay, so Ed. I mean, LeBlanc has not been in a lot of films. Lost in Space and Ed, basically.
Yeah, get it out of your system.
Yeah, I mean, if we were talking Schwimmer, we'd have to work in his directorial output.
Yeah, if only.
Or talk about how he could have been in the Will Smith role in Men in Black, but chose to do the pallbearer instead.
You're not going to like this. I'm going to say something and you're going to turn it into an insult.
Great.
Here in a moment.
Sounds like I am going to like it.
You might like it a little bit. You might be able to dine on this for a second. You had a headline I thought was really funny recently. I can't remember it right now, which is the part you're going to dine on.
Oh, no, it's, that was a funny headline. I don't remember it either, so it's not like it's...
You do transformative shit. Like, you don't just list things. You're better than that.
I really thought you were
going
to talk to me more about what it would have been like if David Schwimmer was in Men in Black.
I don't care. I don't
but
care.
But this is analysis. This is analysis now.
It is that is analysis. I just don't care about the Friends guys. But that is analysis. I would, if you want to talk to me about what David Schwimmer would be like in Men in Black, which role would he play? The Will Smith role?
Yeah, the Will Smith role. He was offered it.
That would have been, what kind of rap would he have written for it?
I think probably one with like more West Coast influences, like a little fucking harder.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Men in Black rap is weak.
Yeah, it's a Will Smith rap, man. It's not going to be great.
Thank you for being honest. I can't remember if I talked to you about this. Do you know about Will Smith's current musical output?
I don't. For reference, the headline that was funny was they're making a Bosch prequel series, and I joked that it should be called The Bosch Baby.
Yeah, The Bosch Baby. I love Bosch Baby. It's very funny. Will Smith is doing music right now. I watched one of his music videos, and it's insane. The music video is... him as a little guy full of, and there's tons of giant women.
Oh yeah.
And it's just him about how all women are beautiful. Kind of like tunelessly rapping about it while they manipulate little tiny Will Smith. Like, it is one of the most horny on main shits I've seen from the man.
I mean, he's a man with a sexuality that is hard to kind of pin down. His relationship with his wife, his relationship with women. It's all very, It feels dangerous to speculate about, and not just because, man, does he like slapping people.
He does, and yeah. The song is called Pretty Girls.
Oh.
And there's a part where he just starts listing colors that women can be.
That's cool.
You know, that's pretty cool. Not colors, sorry, he does it as flavor. He says vanilla, chocolate, strawberry, lemon. All right, fuck it, I like women.
What's strawberry in that situation?
I assume Native American or indigenous.
Okay, that's odd.
Yeah, the whole thing is...
And that makes me not feel great about lemon.
Nope, I think that's what he's going for, though.
It really brings chocolate and vanilla into contrast. Yeah, boy.
Yeah, it. I think that's what's happening.
Don't eat women.
That part. Say what?
Don't eat women.
No. According to the genius annotation, Will is comparing the girls he likes to ice creams, implying that in both cases he's got a great range of them he wants to lick. So that's what the geniuses say about it. They don't think it's a racial component.
Okay, fair enough. Maybe we're showing our own biases, you know?
Yeah, that is true. The video also is him with an array of interracial giantesses.
Okay.
So...
How are they making him small and then big? Is it?
He starts small.
When you say he's small,
like the size of like a soda can.
Okay, but he's proportioned as a full size Will Smith.
Yes,
but through the use of perhaps computers or forced perspective, as in the Hobbit films.
It might have been a Lord of the Rings kind of thing. There might have just been women with Gandalf's head on a big stick. Playing opposite him.
Wait, they've got Gandalf's head on the big stick?
Yeah, that's how they stage those scenes.
I did not know that's how they killed Ian McKellen.
Yeah. Sir Ian McKellen.
You'll be sad when Ian McKellen dies, right?
I will.
That's like Magneto. Knowing who's in Matt LeBlanc's filmography.
See, it's similar, but it could not be done by a piece of paper. It's an emotion that's a human thing.
Gary, eulogize Ian McKellen for me. No jokes.
Okay. Sir Ian McKellen was a great actor. Like many, I came to him from his pop culture crossovers, such as Lord of the Rings and the X-Men series of films from Fox. However, I am given to believe that he was also a Shakespearean guy and was very good seriously. I will miss him and miss seeing him. He seemed like a nice guy. He was gay. That is also good. And I liked his friendship with Patrick Stewart, who I hope is still alive. Amen.
Powerful.
Thank you.
Thank you for not putting any jokes in it.
Yeah. No, that's my sincere. Love that man. Yeah. I miss that man.
He's alive. He is. Gary, I know I put you in a mindset, but he is still with us.
Shit. I know.
Gary, I did not mean to fucking mind control you.
I am a method podcaster.
Sure.
Is what I am. Yeah. We had a good time this weekend hanging out. I think I had a good time.
I had a good time too. I've spent the last week sitting in a corner shaking miserably since, but that's just what good times do to me.
At the time, at the very least, it was good, even if you're hungover.
Yeah. Yeah, it was great.
I think. I had a lot of fun. I had fun hanging out with you too. Had fun.
I'm going to keep saying I had fun till it sounds true.
Yeah. I also got really exhausted. I got exhausted, sick, and got a giant fucking boil. Like I had, you know, stuff like that. Not to the same degree though. I'm not trying to compete.
It's okay.
You know, I don't think I was as sad, but I was really drained. I can't socialize.
Like, yeah. But on the plus side, your boil is now doing well in British singing competitions. That's a Susan Boyle joke.
Oh, it's actually doing. I speed ran that fucking boil. It's still going, you know. Mm-hmm. It's not active, you know, but it's still under the skin and everything.
Yeah,
it's still like a itchy hard spot that I don't care for. It's like I have a gummy peach ring under my skin.
Yeah,
you know. But it in terms of getting it to go, you know, to go time for the boil.
Yeah, of course.
Went really fast. It turned out I found a cream. Online, it works wonders. So next time you have a boil, you let me know. I have a surplus of this cream. I'd be happy to lend you some cream.
Gary, I would love to sample your boil cream.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll let you apply it yourself and everything.
Why?
It worked like, no, I can do it, I guess, then.
Yeah, yeah. It worked when you did it, so why would I do it?
Well, it depended on when you had the boil. Like, the
you
boil
know how to
that
put
I
it
had.
On.
Yeah. Where are you planning on getting your next boil?
Usually in the space directly under my stomach.
Yeah. Okay, I can apply that. That's not weird.
How close, if pube visible, is that too close?
No, I can, I'm a fucking grown up. It's nothing I haven't seen before.
Oh, you say that.
Yeah. Oh, are they different kinds of pubes? You got new tech?
Craft? I've been cross-hatching them, yeah.
Aw.
I have thatched pubes.
Oh, that's great. Like, everybody got into something during COVID, and it's good that you got a hobby. I turned my pubes into sourdough.
Yeah, yeah. And Gary, I'll say, your pube sourdough, your pube starter,
mm-hmm.
Bad.
Yeah. It's more
like
a pube finisher.
It was like regular sourdough starter, but it had pubic hair in it, and I didn't care for it as much.
No, you had to eat around it, and it's too hard when it's baked right in.
If it's Gary, I've been watching a lot of Cutthroat Kitchen because I've been very badly depressed because I spent a day hanging out with people.
Mm-hmm.
It's really, if it's on the plate, it's getting judged.
It's getting judged. Malarkey does seem like the kind of motherfucker who would throw some pubes in the sourdough,
Malarkey.
Metaphorically.
Fucking Malarkey, man. Okay, Gary, have you talked about Cutthroat Kitchen Knives Out at all on the network? Cutthroat Kitchen is, of course, the fundamental text of Duck Feed.
Not on the network. Kay had never seen it. Kay doesn't do anything.
Yeah.
But we showed an episode to Kay. But it has
of
not
Knives
come up
Out?
On the network yet. Yes, but it has not come up on the network yet. Kay and I have not.
Okay.
We've only recorded once, and it was about the Fear game. Knives Out did not come out. Did not come up.
They rebooted Cutthroat Kitchen.
Yes.
If for people who are somehow not aware, Cutthroat Kitchen is a Food Network show that is, in many ways, the perfect cooking show for people who can't cook to watch.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is, A, it has Alton Brown being very sarcastic.
Mm-hmm.
In later seasons, sometimes in a costume.
Yep. More frequently than you might think.
Yeah.
In a costume. Like, later they really lean on, like, it's Super Bowl day. It's Coach Alton.
That Super Bowl episode's dire.
Yeah, it's very funny, though. Like, there's another one. There's a game day one. I don't think it's Super Bowl one.
Well, they can't call it Super Bowl. They can't call it
Super
Bowl.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. Did you see the one where it has the football player as the judge? I don't know his name, but at one point he says it's a fried chicken sandwich is the dish.
Yeah, he's never had one.
Yeah, he goes, I've had fried chicken. I've never had a fried chicken sandwich. And no one knows how to react to it because it's the most insane fucking thing anyone's ever said.
Oh my God. So normally Cutthroat Kitchen has four, like the old Cutthroat Kitchen has four judges it cycles through, three good ones, and then they add in Richard Blaze.
Mm-hmm.
There are a couple late season guest judge episodes where it is very clear that they have recorded the judgment separately.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because that guy is not coming up off the top of his head. I'm sure he's a wonderful man, and he's very good at making a football go from one spot to another, or alternatively stopping other people from doing the same.
Mm-hmm.
He is saying, he is clearly reading critiques off of a cue card.
And the critiques are very funny. It's good. It's juicy. I like the sauce.
Yes. But he's also having a couple of he says some like more slightly thought out cooking words. You can tell he was not saying those in the moment. They are shot like tight focus on his face.
Mm-hmm.
This was recorded after the fact.
And he's judging a cooking competition and he's never had a chicken sandwich before.
It does seem like that's one of the main qualifications is having had some food.
I went through a real journey with that. My first thing was like, oh, you'd think you'd fucking ask the guy if he's had a chicken sandwich. And then I was like, you don't ask somebody if they had a chicken sandwich. That's one of the most assumable things on planet Earth.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
It was Anyway, Cutthroat Kitchen is, so that ran for, I think, 15 seasons, technically, 14 mm-hmm. or 15. And then I think they just were like, we've done all of the stuff we can think of.
And I think Alton Brown was getting sick of it.
Probably, yeah. So they have now, this year, they rebooted it as Cutthroat Kitchen, Knives Out. No Alton Brown, now they have Malarkey.
And Malarkey sucks.
So Malarkey's a guy who came up in like on the competition side of like Food Network, right? That's how Food Network gets a lot of its people.
Yeah.
Is it does all these cooking competition shows, and then if someone has a big personality, they bring them back, and then maybe they bring them in as a judge and things like that.
Yep. And eventually maybe they get their own show. There's an entire like there's upward mobility on the Food Network.
Yeah. If you do if you make that man on Chopped do a thin little smile, you're in.
Mm-hmm.
Ted, exactly. What's his name? Zakarian? Has he ever laughed?
Zakarian?
No. Ted, the Chopped host. Ted,
oh, the host. Yeah, Ted. Ted, what's his name? I've never seen him laugh. I have seen him smile, but I've never seen him laugh.
Yeah, a thin little smile, though. A thin little smile.
I love the mean judges of Chopped. So he came up in the farm leagues. Now he's a host. He looks like he's in Lit, but not at the time Lit was contemporary. Like he looks like he's Lit now.
He looks like what you get if you tried to build a Zappa kid out of leftover parts.
Yeah. And not unlike somebody who is kind of in an Elton Brown costume, like kind of Elton Brown bounding.
Absolutely. In a way, like, yeah. He has that same kind of narrow face a little bit.
Yep. And his haircut, you know, he's kind of doing a thing. And he is a bad host.
I do not find him a particularly charismatic presence. Like, one of the things you get from watching Cutthroat Kitchen is that Alton Brown is, like, one of the best in the world at just saying a thing.
Yeah, he knows things, and he's also mean. And he, like, he understands that it's okay for him to be mean because it's the show.
Yeah.
And apparently he's a huge dick in real life. Like I've read like accounts of like people were like, you're not allowed to look at him in the eye if you're on the crew, shit like that.
Ellen stuff,
which I don't have very much patience for. It makes a better product here. Like it comes through in the show in a way that is nice.
Okay. So this is our full review of Knives Out. Cause I watched all of Knives Out. I think you only watched like one or two episodes, right?
I watched two episodes of Knives Out.
So first off, they cut it down to two rounds.
Yes.
Cutthroat Kitchen, the original Cutthroat Kitchen is three rounds. Now, I will say, I don't always love the third round of Cutthroat Kitchen, which is a dessert round. I don't find dessert cooking that interesting.
I will say the thing about the third round of Cutthroat Kitchen is that starting the cooking immediately and doing the auctions, you know, in the middle adds nothing.
I think it is just for time purposes.
Yeah. I would not do it. But the difference between two and three, you know, it's still an hour long show. To my mind, Knives Out, because now I've watched another episode, I've kind of solidified some opinions on it. I think we have too much time now.
I think that's very fair. I think that is both in terms of showcasing the personalities of the chefs, which are always terrible.
Yep.
But also just like it makes the cooking less interesting when it's not moving as quite as hectically.
And gives Malarkey a lot of time to like just do his little comments and say his little jokey jokes. And stuff.
Malarkey,
the biggest difference to me in terms of tone, because the rules changes, which I some many of which I like.
Yeah.
The biggest change in terms of tone is Malarkey is much more involved. He gives advice during it. He also gets to eat the food and comment on it, which is bullshit.
It's completely bullshit. I think they lean back a little bit on him giving advice in the later episodes, I will say.
That's good. That made me furious. Like him just being like, this is how you should do this and saying it. I'm like, what the fuck are you doing? These are you want them to lose.
What the fuck are you doing?
Yeah, this isn't D&D. Like, this is not collaborative to tell a good story.
You're not fucking Brandon Lee Mulligan.
Shut up. Yeah.
Get out of here, fucking Matt Mercer.
Yep, exactly.
God, Branson Reese sucks shit.
Fucking Malarkey being your DM.
Gary, I'm running low. Name me a couple more celebrity DMs.
Matt Colville. He's celebrity DM.
Okay.
You're running low. I was going to say ones you don't know. That's the only other one I know, I think.
Austin Walker.
Oh, Austin Walker. Whoever does it for the Penny Arcade guys.
Oh, that yeah. Guys. A whole rotating cavalcade of McElroys.
Yeah. I think everyone gets a turn on the McElroy train.
Justin's only done it once. He did Blades in the Dark, and they were not very good at playing Blades in the Dark.
Mm. Yeah.
That would be a fun... You know, people have been asking me when the next commentary is. Maybe it's just for Steeplechase, just so I can hear you get mad at the McElroys not playing Blades in the Dark, right?
Is it a long-running podcast season? Because a podcast commentary season is very funny to me.
How do you define long, Gary?
Well, longer than a movie.
It's like 15 episodes.
Yeah, that seems like a long commentary to me.
Yeah. Like, it's a project, sure.
15 weeks of Guppy.
No, we do it all in one.
Oh God.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Is it like 15 hours long or more?
If I think probably it's about 16 hours of it.
Okay.
You know, we could skip the ads, although the ad reads are usually pretty good.
Okay. Okay. Well, you know, you're selling me, but the,
It's Anywho. Funny. It takes place in like a fake futuristic Disney.
Okay. They
replace all the ghost stuff from Blades in the Dark with like holograms and stuff.
Okay. The more I'm learning about it, the less I like it.
Blades is a system that is hard to hack into other.
I think so. It's a real sea change in terms of running too. I had a hard time running it. It's cool. I love it.
I really like Blades. And Justin likes it, clearly, but, like, let me put it this way. They've got Travis playing, like, their, like, bruiser type. I don't remember what the actual archetype is called in Blades.
Mm-hmm.
And at the first opportunity when he has to take a weakness, he takes, like, soft, so he doesn't have to be too violent.
Ah. Yeah.
Because they just never get very comfortable with the idea that they are playing thieves and villains.
Yeah, bad guys.
And that's what that game is for.
Because they're the No Bummers soft ways crew.
A little bit.
Yeah, that's their...
They're running a Battle Royale season right now where they were like, oh, anybody can die, and none of the main characters have died.
Yeah. What if it was a Battle Royale for hugging? What if you could talk to the monsters? What if Hitman was about giving people cupcakes? Yeah. But as a podcast.
What if Frankenstein's the real monster?
Shit. Oh, you mean the doctor?
Yeah, I did watch Frankenstein in theaters on a big 35mm screen last night, and it's very pretty and a little dull, but at one point, a character does just straight up tell Victor Frankenstein, you are the monster. That sucks. It sucks.
That's a
sucky thing to put in your movie, man.
Suck-ass thing to write.
I've been thinking about Garth Marenghi anyway, because he's been popping up again, but it was a real, I've met writers who use subtext.
Yeah.
And they're all cowards moments.
Malarkey. Cutthroat Kitchen.
Cutthroat Kitchen, Knives Out.
Knives Out. You were saying a thing, and I interrupted you to make a point about Malarkey. I want to get this out. I want to exercise the poison.
Okay, so here's my biggest issue with the show. I think we've lost whatever point I was going to make. It's Guppy, man. It's jazz, baby.
It is jazz. We're playing the wrong notes. But yeah, I want to hear your tight five on this.
My biggest problem is they're allowed to give each other ingredients.
Okay.
They've clearly been told you can help each other out.
Yes. Now, I have a follow-up question for that.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about when they try to buy them from each other? Does that bother you as much?
Okay, that bothers me a little less. It makes a lot of like people begging for ingredients and then acting like they are aggrieved because they are not being given the ingredients, which is, sorry, it's Cutthroat Kitchen. It is supposed to be me. I don't like them being able to, bid together on sabotages either, usually for basket stuff.
That sucks. There's too much cooperation in general.
Yeah.
The idea of being able to buy ingredients from each other, like somebody forgot eggs and somebody can get, you know, like you can have one egg for like $4,000.
Yeah.
That doesn't bother me that much. I hate the aggrievousness though. Like I hate that somebody is like, oh, you know, you wouldn't give me sage and now I'm mad at you. And it's like, it's a fucking competition. Like you didn't get sage. That's the game.
Yeah. Get the fucking sage. You got 60 seconds in the pantry, motherfucker.
Yeah. Or me. And the pantry is a fucked up thing because it's New Cutthroat Kitchen. You didn't get sage. Roll with it. You know, you don't got sage. That's the game.
You're supposed to roll with it. That's the game. That's what we're watching to see.
Yeah. We're not here to make friends. It's reality TV. You know? I don't like that either. It bugs me. It's not my biggest bummer. I dislike Malarkey's general steez more, but I agree with you that that's not strong. Malarkey, somebody fucked up doing their thing. They couldn't taste their food and they tasted it.
Mm-hmm.
And Malarkey didn't find them.
That's absolutely egregious. That is.
Happens in episode fucking two. Like, it's right out the gate.
What are you doing, Malarkey? I know your name's Malarkey. By the way, why is your name Malarkey?
Yeah, that's fucking fake. That's your stage name to get attention on Food Network.
Hold on. Let's find out. Let's find out.
I don't buy it for
Brian
a second.
Brian Malarkey. His name's Brian, which I don't trust anyway.
Well, at least that part's true.
Oh, damn. First shot of Malarkey. First thing that comes up is an Instagram photo of Malarkey. Looks real weird with his shirt off.
Ooh, baby. I'm on my way.
People also ask, what happened to Brian Malarkey? Yeah, man.
Why does he look like RFK?
I don't know.
He looks like a Fruit Leather strip. What's happening? Dropped the drink 2 years ago on my 50th birthday and life opened her doors. Her doors?
Oh, no.
Pretty good.
That sucks.
Yeah.
It's a lot of stuff about his marriage. I went to his website. The first picture is of him sitting on a fake horse holding a banjo with a picture of Jimi Hendrix in the background.
I also have this up now. God damn it.
But he's not famous enough to have a Wikipedia page.
The Puffer Malarkey Collective? The Puffer Malarkey Collective portfolio.
Okay, so he was a Top Chef guy. He was a Top Chef guy. Okay, that's where he came up. So he came up in real cooking shows, not Food Network cooking shows.
Okay. The Brothers Malarkey?
That's his band,
I think.
So Malarkey must be the last name.
The Brothers Malarkey is his modern cowboy restaurant. And the channel's the raw spirit of Oregon. We can make a trip?
It's got to be in California, dude.
Yeah.
Hold on, I'm clicking House of Malarkey. It's his YouTube. That's his YouTube. Okay.
Okay. Yeah, cool octopus tattoo, dickhead. I dislike this man quite a bit.
Yeah,
did you scroll down to Malarkey, the Harley Malarkey podcast?
Yeah, man, I sure did. With his new wife with her cowboy hat.
Old dog, new tricks in the BioShock font.
I cannot abide Malarkey, I've decided. I was okay with him on the show, and now that I've gone a little deeper into the Malarkeyverse, Brian Malarkey ruined Cutthroat Kitchen. That's a Reddit post that I find myself agreeing with.
On Contact, you can book Chef Brian for an event at one of his restaurants or explore press opportunities, request his presence at a speaking engagement, or discuss any other opportunities.
We can have this is a speaking engagement.
Yeah, we could have him on Guppy.
Did we ever have Simon Majumdar on here, or did we not play that on the show?
I think we did play it on the show.
Okay.
Beautiful, beautiful cameo. You got me. Love that man.
Simon Majumdar, controversial judge on Cutthroat Kitchen.
I'm never going to say he's the best at it. I'm never going to not say he's the worst at it. But, like, I get different things for all the cutthroat judges. Like, one of them I just find very appealing in kind of a mascot way. One of them I would like to dom me, and one of them just seems like a nice guy who knows his shit, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And then also, Brian, what's his name?
Yeah, the fourth guy who I can't
tolerate. Richard Blaze, there we go.
Yeah, Richard Blaze.
God fucking
damn it. Fucking gladiator-ass name.
Deep down, Gary, if I'm being honest, Simon Majumdar is my favorite of the hosts, of the judges.
He's great. He's so bad at it. He's such a dork.
He's such a fucking dork.
And when he's dressed up in the costumes, like when he comes down as a cowboy, like he just looks so gormless.
Yeah.
Like he's surprised. Like he just wakes up in a new body every morning and this one's a cowboy. I love it so much.
Yeah, Dr. Sam Beckett. Hey, Gary, it's Monster Blitz, where we talk about every single monster in The Binding of Isaac.
I forgot.
Gary, did you get the Wienerville reference I made at the top of the episode?
I didn't, actually. I was going to ask you what that was, but we got distracted for 40 minutes.
Yeah, that does happen sometimes on this show.
Yeah.
Because we both like a cooking show. Wienerville was a puppet show by Mark Wiener that was on Nickelodeon in the mid-90s.
Okay. Looking at it, I recognize stills from it, but I don't think I watched very much of this.
Yeah, Mark Wiener's thing was he would have like puppet bodies and he would stick his head in like through a curtain above it and kind of make the bodies dance around and he'd play a baby or something.
It's like the Titanica sketch from Mr. Show. I didn't catch that. I barely remember the show. This just awakened a memory.
Yeah, that and The Roundhouse.
What was the reference?
Oh, he had a character. There's a recurring character, kind of like a proto Triumph the Insult comic dog named Boney, who's like a skeleton dog who just, he has a little theme song that goes, he's Boney, leave him alone. He's doing some real, some slightly edgier OTG material, Oscar the Grouch.
Yeah, some rhyme work, you know?
In the song, sure. I don't think he's rhyming a lot. He's just telling people he's just telling children to get away from him.
Yeah. Well, he's a skeleton dog.
You know? Yeah. He's got more on his plate than the OG OTG, for sure.
Yes. Agreed. Notorious OTG.
I would say that Oscar is the most notorious. I mean, obviously Rocco's been coming for the throne lately, but do you know about Rocco?
It's a new Muppet.
It's not a Muppet is the thing. Oh. It's a rock.
Oh, well, I don't think I realized that.
No, it's Rocco is an example of, I think they're trying to illustrate that gaslighting is bad for children.
Okay.
Weird, because everyone else insists that Rocco is like a pet rock and has an inner life. And Elmo has become increasingly upset about this.
Huh. No, I didn't know that storyline. He's not a Muppet. He's actually just a rock. He's not like a Muppet with a face or whatever.
No, it's just a rock. And everyone's like, oh, Rocco's feeling a little sad today. And Elmo will be like, he's just a rock. Are you angry at me?
No, I'm just thinking about that as a children's storyline. Like, everyone just gaslighting Elmo. And Elmo's getting upset about it. Are the human adults doing it to Elmo as well?
I don't know. It's mostly Elmo's little friend Zoe. I'm on Rocco's Muppet Wiki page, which I don't think he should have, but fuck it.
Yeah.
Though he's an anime, in Zoe's mind, Rocco can do anything.
Okay.
The rock has historically been the cause of much annoyance to Elmo, who often gets flustered and constantly reminds Zoe that Rocco's just a rock.
I could see that lesson going either way, that since it's a little kid who has like a pet rock, and it could be like Elmo's being a real dick. Like if somebody's like, oh, this is my imaginary friend, it does this stuff, and Elmo's like, no, it's not real, God's awesome, like little Richard Dawkins Elmo shit.
Yeah, you know? I think that is kind of what they're, I feel like they've really feel like Elmo's character needs to evolve and become more edgelordy.
The rock delusion. Yeah.
The rock delusion is that the rock is actually a major box office draw. He's not.
He's not.
Look at the movies that aren't just the bombing fucking machine. Fast and Furious.
Yeah.
Sorry, Gary. Please say clean read on the bombing machine.
The bombing machine.
Yeah.
No. He's in that Rampage movie that was kind of fun.
Was it fun?
Yeah, it's kind of fun.
Didn't see it.
Yeah, it's not bad. I mean, I watched it for work, Adaptation Decay, but it's kind of fun. My favorite bit about it is that the end, George, the ape, they take care of all the other rampaging monsters, but they just have this like ever-growing super ape, and it's okay because it's on their side.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, Gary, I mean, that's like a really fresh commentary on like the military industrial complex.
That is true. Like, we are okay with letting genies out of bottles so long as the genies grant us wishes.
Warrior ethos.
Yeah, that is a warrior ethos kind of thing. Have you ever watched any videos of those things where men go to camps to have other men like scream at them, you know, to become their husbands and ad execs and shit?
Okay, it feels like this is one of those things where the boners is subtext, right?
It's gotta be. I just watched Brain Candy, which I know you haven't seen, but there is a boners as subtext with men screaming at you scene in that it reminded me of very much.
Okay.
But yeah, it's a thing. Like the footage of it is incredible. We're so fucking cooked. Like, people are just paying money to go to these camps to get screamed at by men, and they think it make, turns them into a warrior husband or whatever.
What would you want to have screamed at you?
My name is Antonio LaFossa, and you will cook me a fucking perfect chicken sandwich.
Okay. You know, I try not to be horny on Maine. They did have one where she was dressed up in like a superhero costume, and I was like, okay, I get what Gary sees about this.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, that might have been the first one that did it for me. I can't remember. It's been such a part of my life.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not a very horny show.
No. No. My wife listens to this, and I think she rolls with the Antonio LaFossa punches pretty well.
Yeah.
For a little while, the Kat Denning punches, I think, kind of bugged her.
Sure.
She's kind of had a little moment of like, okay, enough of that.
Okay.
It's funny.
Yeah. It sounds funny.
It was funny.
Yeah. It sounds funny.
It was funny. My wife can hang. Boney.
I feel really uncomfortable right now.
That's why I was going to bring us back into the monster.
The what?
The monster, the Boney.
Monster Blitz! That's Monster what we were Blitz. Doing before we got into a malarkey hole.
Yeah, until we got malarked. Boney, this guy's a problem. He's a little skeleton man.
Yeah.
Love the way he looks. He throws bones at you, and these bones are faster than other projectiles.
Yeah, we've said this before, but this specific enemy is an object lesson in why shot speed matters.
Yep, very much so. They are harder to dodge than most things.
Which works for you, too. The less time there is between shot leaving you and reaching enemy, the less time there is for inaccuracy to set in.
Mm-hmm. You want hit scan crying in Isaac if you can have it.
These guys are, so we've mentioned this before, the basic, usually, like, there's a million caveats for this, but usually to deal with an enemy in the Binding of Isaac, you must get on a cardinal with it, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And getting on the cardinals with these guys is super dangerous.
Yes.
And when I say cardinal, I mean cardinal direction, not mounting bishop. A Monsignor.
Yes. Not trying for a bishop.
Yeah, not parkouring the Pope.
No, not choking the little monster.
Gary, we had a bit going and then you just did that.
Well, you were talking about making the Monsignor and stuff. They all sounded like ways to milk the pud.
But they were alliterative words for climbing atop a high-ranking member of the Catholic Church.
And?
Choking the little monster is just there another one.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Sometimes they're big monsters. Yeah. I got distracted. I had to run downstairs. I got winded from doing my stairs twice in short succession.
You do sound winded now.
Yeah, I got winded. Astute listeners will hear me be out of shape. Every episode.
Every single episode, you get a little bit of Gary being out of shape. I tried to do a push-up challenge with him, and the man refused.
Yeah.
And I think I did really well, if memory serves.
You killed it.
I killed something. Like,
yeah, once Gwen got a hold of that episode and changed the edit, like, it was pretty impressive. It was warrior mindset.
I really try to have a warrior ethos in everything I do, and I just want Daddy Pete to really approve of me.
Yeah.
He was on Fox News.
Yeah, he doesn't like when people are fat. He's mad about it, and also sometimes they don't have Nazi tattoos. He doesn't like that either. You know?
Yeah, and sometimes they just end up in his WhatsApps. How's that happen? Yeah,
that's super weird. Super
seems
weird.
Smart and good.
Yeah, it's things are when things are going well.
Very much so. So Gary, what was it your ring door?
So it was a package, and ordinarily, somebody just leave a package. The person wouldn't do it. They just kept hammering that ring button.
Was it one you had to sign for?
No.
Was it valuable?
It's semi-valuable.
How valuable?
I would say. We bought, our house has a fireplace.
Vaguely, sure.
Has a fireplace. I'm not going
to
use that.
That's a rude thing to ask me, Gary.
Don't want to burn down my house. So
you know how my house has a fireplace? Fuck. Hey, Gary, can I retract?
Sure.
Fucking no, I don't know how your house has a fireplace. Fuck off.
It does. And I don't want to burn down my house. I'm not going to fuck with the fireplace. I can't be trusted with that.
No, obviously not.
So we bought a little electronic fire to go inside the fireplace for kitsch value and because it'll provide warmth and the cats will curl up in front of it. So it was that.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think arranged that delivery for a different time?
Didn't arrange the time at all. I didn't have a say in when it showed up.
I feel like if you really cared about this show, you'd find a way to have a say about it.
You can't. Have you ever had a delivery at a certain time?
Sure. Well,
what century is this? Like, that's not a thing. All the time.
You just talk to the postmaster corporal and get it worked out.
I can't because you had to go up the chain of command.
That's right. And that's why you have to have a fucking warrior ethos.
Yeah. I don't. I haven't had guys yell at me enough.
And I've had you yell at me so many times that I feel like it's kind of given me the necessary grounding.
Yeah. I've been providing you with warrior ethos on the sly. Our entire friendship. I've been slipping you little ethoses.
Yeah, it's not a low-grade campaign of persistent bullying. It's strengthening me.
Yeah. Yeah, well, pressure is what's going to allow you to level up.
Like a piece of coal into a more cramped and uncomfortable piece of coal.
Yeah, smaller, less valuable piece of coal.
Yeah, you know? has less surface area.
Yeah, half of a piece of coal. You know? Yeah. Like, you know, you can crush a piece of coal and make it smaller into like less of coal. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That's kind of the idea. That's kind of the idea.
Make some buckyballs out of it.
Buckyball. It's a buckyball. Yeah.
What's that? What was that?
That's bullet ball.
What's bullet ball?
A bullet ball. You know, do you sincerely not know what bullet ball is?
I sincerely don't know what bullet ball is.
It was like an old internet meme. A guy went on Shark Tank with his game called Bullet Ball. He has a song for it that I just did. It's real sad. You know, it's Shark Tank. He believed in his vision.
Yeah.
But the game is...
It sucks when people believe in themselves.
It super sucks. The game is you sit across a table and you just hit a ball back and forth with your hands. There's no game to it or anything like that. And he just really talked it up and he wrote a song about it and stuff. It's real cute.
Was he inspired by being bored at a kitchen, like at a restaurant table?
He was literally inspired by him and his wife on the floor rolling a ball back and forth, which like, that's weird. And then said, man, we got to make a game out of this.
Is the wife? I feel like the missing piece here has to be that the wife has left or died, right?
If she tolerated him selling everything he owns and putting everything into bullet ball.
Yeah.
We have a wife that likes the world has never seen. Like
Did
this
Mr.
is some
Wonderful
kind of super
like
support
it?
Wife. What was that?
Did Mr. Wonderful like it?
No.
Oh no.
Nobody liked it. It was very sad. It was that, you know, like a bunch of reality TV is just humiliation porn. Like,
yeah, yeah.
It just, you know, it was real that like people just,
yeah, we talked
you
about your singing
it.
Boil.
Exactly. Yeah. My singing boil. Yeah. 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 Oh man, if that thing started singing, I was going to say I'd run, but where would I run to? You know?
You can't like you've stumbled onto the Will Hughes paradox. You can't run away from yourself.
Yeah. You certainly can't run away from your grungle, like your entire like taint zone, you know?
So yeah, these guys, they move unpredictably, and then if you're on a cardinal with them, again, cardinal direction, not the bird, they will probably hit you for damage.
Yep, they throw bones very fast. So if you don't have a way of getting them from oblique angles or high DPS so you can take them out really quick, they are challenging. They always spawn in multiples. One of the things I like about Repentance is it turned these guys into an enemy you can have with you sometimes, or trinkets. Mm-hmm. And items that give you friendly bonies, and they're also effective on your side too, which I like.
But they are like because they are introduced into the game pretty early on, they are kind of, they're one of like those checks to make sure you are not just like standing in place and just grinding monsters down.
Yes. Yeah. Mobility.
Yeah. Learning to deal with these guys is like a real fundamental step in learning how to play Isaac effectively.
Great visual design. One of my faves.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, and my God, there's one of those in Isaac.
one of my faves.
No, the bony, a skeleton.
Where are you going with this? What's going on?
Oh, you just the idea that we all have skeletons inside us.
Oh, and so you mean Isaac the person, not the game. I see.
Yeah, when you said, man.
Oh my God, there's one of those in Isaac.
Yeah.
I thought you meant the game.
There, I mean, there's many of them in Isaac. As many as you'd like. It's procedurally generated.
Yeah.
But no, but there's one inside the character of Isaac is one of these bonies just waiting to get out.
Yeah. You see it in the
chest.
That's
why skeletons kill us.
Yes. There's that thing where you see it in the chest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's why skeletons kill us, Gary, is to free their brethren inside us. We've enslaved the skeleton to move our brain around.
Yeah.
We've lashed it in a prison of muscle to force the skeleton to move, to serve as a throne for our terrible little parasite brain.
Can I ask you to consider an idea seriously?
It has never worked in the entire history of this show, but your optimism is charming.
Okay. Is that your, do I have your leave to attempt?
Granted.
Do you, thank you, sir. Do you think, somebody could make a
fart? Movie? Sorry. I was getting out of my system.
Get out of your system. Get out of your butt.
Do you that was just a verbal fart.
Oh shit. Your Foley work is incredible. Says the rest of the kids in the hall. Do you think somebody could make a movie or TV show that reclaims the idea of skeletons as being scary?
Absolutely.
As a monster. You don't think that the Ray Harryhausen-ness of it all would like make that not work? How would they go about doing it?
I think so. The first instinct is to do the zombie thing and go horde, right? But that is one of your fucking animators at some point is going to go get a little bit of Army of Darkness in there and have like skeletons swapping heads, and then you've ruined your whole fucking thing.
Yep.
But imagine like this is a stock scare, but you're in bed and there's a shadow in your bedroom.
Okay.
And then And then silently emerging from that shadow is just a skeleton.
Yeah.
Taking step by slow step towards you, reaching out its bony hands towards your throat, you paralyzed and frozen with fear.
Yeah. That would be scary. I'd be paralyzed and frozen in fear if that happened.
Until you fucking kicked it. It's just a fucking skeleton, dude.
Well, that's the thing, right? Like,
head fall off.
To make the mummy scary, they had to give him a lot of magic powers.
They really had to what's your word? Glaze up the mummy?
They had to glaze up the mummy. They had to choke the bishop. They had to choke the monster. They had to glaze up the mummy in order to make that work.
They had to get that mummy from the top of the zoo.
It's just really bones. Yeah. It doesn't seem that scary. So a horde, you know, could be scary. Horde of skeletons.
But it only takes one falling over, and then there's a xylophone sound, and you're fucked.
Yeah. Like, there's too many comedy beats for a skeleton. I think I would love to have skeletons reclaimed for terror. I love skeletons.
You would have to have around your film set snipers just gunning down xylophonists trying to get there.
Yeah, you'd have to have a court order to have no xylophonist within like a 3-mile radius, you know? And I have a xylophone, I couldn't make this movie. I'd have to have somebody else do it. Yeah, I have a xylophone.
Why has there not been any xylophone on Guppy?
It's not upstairs. We're using it for recording. It's on the upcoming Modridge album, Premier Modridge.
Is it like a little child xylophone?
No, it's a real xylophone.
How long is it?
I'm pretty bad at distances. A couple feet, like 3 feet maybe.
How much did you pay for a xylophone?
I think like $115.
That seems like a good price for a xylophone.
It was a good price. That really good stuff over on Division. Buzz Marketing. I love that place.
What about a vibraphone? Maybe get a vibraphone?
I don't have a vibraphone. No. Love a vibraphone, but those are expensive. Those are big and fancy.
Yeah.
So.
Well, because of the vibrations. Cheaper.
Yeah. You pay per vibe. Like you're at Shebop.
Of course, you are kind of... That was good. You are kind of being a chump because, of course, you do have a xylophone inside you.
That is true. But it's covered with a lot of fat and flesh and sometimes boils that act as a powerful mute, you know?
Yeah, no, that is... Boils certainly are the trumpet mute of the body's xylophone.
Like, here, let me try to play... A sentence
that could be understood.
Let me try to play the xylophone real quick and see if it comes through here. It's doing something, but it's not xylophone, you know?
Sometimes with my stomach, I can get like a nice resonance.
Me too, especially if I drink a lot of water. You ever go to those
yeah, we
it's like,
gotta get you wetter.
Yeah, remind where you're like, oh, I'm a cavity, you know? Like,
you know. Gary, should we start a band just from our bodies?
Like Bobby McFerrin?
Why do you have to always bring it back to fucking Bobby McFerrin? You can do music with your body that isn't just Bobby McFerrin shit, man. I'm so sick of your lack of vision.
He's the only person who's ever done an a cappella number one hit.
So
I feel like we'd be lucky to be Bobby McFerrin. Huh?
The only one so far.
Yeah, that's what I'm
saying. You tiny-minded little pud.
Don't call me a pud.
I'll call you a pud if I want to.
Don't choke my bishop. Don't smack my bishop.
You little slurter.
Prodigy. No.
What should people do if they like this show? I'm just saying, man.
Oh.
What?
What should people do if they like this show?
And that for a whole album.
Yeah. It's a good idea. We can do it. I just think it'd be cool to cover Don't Worry, Be Happy.
As like an like... As a combination homage and showing what the song should have been, maybe.
Yes. Like a correction. Correcting
a correction.
History.
Yeah. I don't like those lyrics either. I don't agree with them.
Yeah. Well, he didn't end up agreeing with them either. And he really resented that song.
Did he end up subjecting himself to the smashing machine?
I don't know. He's still around. He's actually a very respected musician.
Not by me.
Not by me either. Jazz,
okay,
play the right, fucking right
who
notes.
Who fucking cares?
Yeah, play the right notes, asshole. If people like this show, go to patreon.com/duckfeedtv. You can also leave us a rating review like this one.
If people like our willful misunderstanding of what the point of the smashing machine is.
And jazz.
Gary, this one's mean to you. Are you okay for one that's mean to you?
I think I can handle it.
Okay, this was left on Apple Podcasts by Sora Sarge.
Uh-oh.
Titled, Gary, Please Stop. The opening theme to Quackstack gives me such cringe and makes me so embarrassed for you, even though I know I shouldn't. It's just not for me, but still love that you are unabashedly yourself and I love the show. Also, everything to Guppy is fine too, I guess.
That's not that mean. They're just wrong.
Okay. I've not listened to Quackstack before, and I did go listen to it to get context.
Yeah, it's a good theme song, and there's two of them. There's a season one and season two theme song.
Oh, good.
Because I made a new theme song for K.
Oh, yeah.
Both of which slap. So.
Okay, yeah, I think I only heard the more recent one.
Yeah, reviewer got it wrong.
Can you do a little bit of it right now?
Do I remember the... theme song for Quackstack.
At least give people a little bit of the vibe.
Yeah, it's like K-A-Y-E spells K. She's one woman, one house, H-O-A, I think is how it begins. It's a rap.
Yeah, it is very much a rapidaisical piece of music.
Yeah, people need to learn that I rap.
I needed to learn it.
Yeah. You need to learn that I rap. Go to a camp where a guy yells at you that I rap.
Gary Butterfield has been rapping since he was in his late teens. You fucking pud!
It's true. Fucking pud. Choke it.
Choke the pud.